Many people who are incarcerated reoffend once they've been released and end up back in prison. But when Jesus changes the heart of a former inmate, well, that changes everything. Here's Jennifer Smith.
I want to see them come out and watch their lives transform into women that they thought they never could be, or they've been told they never could be, and to go out and be the world changer that I believe that they could be.
This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast with Nancy DeMoss Walgemuth, author of Lies Women Believe. For December 4th, 2020, I'm Dana Gresh. A recent study from the U.S. Department of Justice offers sobering news about our prison system. 83% of state prisoners were arrested after getting out of prison at least once in the 9 years following their release. That means a big majority of people leaving prison, they aren't changed. They go back to their same lifestyle. And Nancy, we have a good friend who knows all about this problem and decided to do something about it.
Yeah, Dana. Jennifer Smith is a precious friend who has devoted her life to helping women transition out of prison. She disciples these women in the Word of God. She helps them gain practical skills they're going to need on the outside. And she connects them with the broader body of Christ. If you've listened to Revive Our Hearts for any length of time, you've heard Jennifer before. She shared her powerful testimony of coming to faith in Jesus while she was in prison. She's also shared about the amazing ministry that the Lord gave her while she was still inside that prison. And then when she got out, the Lord led her, along with some other believers in her community, to open the Cornerstone Transition Home.
Of course, she first saw the need for that transitional home while she was still in prison. The Lord had transformed her life. She was still serving her sentence, and she began to care for the well-being of her fellow inmates.
I kept seeing the same women coming through the doors. You know, they'd be there for about 6 months. They'd get out, and they'd come right back. So I just didn't understand why they were coming back. And after I began to speak with them, it was the same across the board, that there's no accountability out there, there's no help, there's no resources. They go back to the same people, places, and things and fall back into the same patterns.
And this was even true for women who'd come to know Christ in prison and had been through a discipleship program.
You know, I wanted them to go out and be those branches over the walls, you know, to be able to go out, because I knew God had done a work. I'd seen it, you know, firsthand there in the prison, in the program, and you've seen that happen, and you've seen the good intentions that were there and those goals that they had set. But then it was like, where was the follow-through, you know? So, yeah, he began to burden me for that, and not just outside the prison, but to come alongside him in there, you know, and help be a mentor like I was being mentored.
When it came time for Jennifer to go before a parole board, she had a solid plan. She was going to her parents' house. Now, if you've heard Jennifer on Revive Our Hearts before, you know her relationship with her parents growing up was very rocky. But God had changed all their hearts. And her parents did help provide the accountability and support she needed. She actually got that help from several places.
Even though I went to the same town, I had accountability. I had community around me. It was my family. But I also, you know, I had mentors that had mentored me even in prison that continued that once I was on the outside. So they helped walk with me. And I had that accountability. But I had boundaries in place that I had set before I ever got out, that these are boundaries that I can't cross, you know. And so that was in employment, that was in relationships, that was in friendships, you know, that I was not going to go hang out in the old places, friends and all that. And I actually was tested in that. I'd been out maybe a week. I had an old friend come to my mom's house, and she asked if she could come in. And I was actually going through a box that I'd sent home as I was being released, and had the letters that I had saved throughout the years of people that wrote me, you know, 12 years. And I said, if you can come and find a letter in that box, I said, then you can come in and we can visit. She just kind of hung her head. She said, well, I can't do that. And I said, and I can't do that. And I said, if you would like to come to, and I shared a church I was going to be giving my testimony, I said, I'd be more than happy to visit there. I said, but you can't come in, you know. So just setting those boundaries, you know, and not going back into those same situations. And I knew, I learned how to handle stress. You know, I learned how to handle conflict. I renewed my mind those years in there with the Word of God. So I had a arsenal of weapons that I could come out and fight, you know. So the enemy was there, and he was relentless, you know, in trying to make sure that you would stumble or put the temptation in your face. But because I had so many people pouring in my life, even Revive Our Hearts. You know, from its birth, I was a listener, you know, on my little headset in my little prison cell for 10 of those years before I actually ever got to come to my first conference in 2011.
So if the parole system worked for Jennifer, why doesn't it work for everybody? Jennifer says plenty of parole officers work very hard to try and help parolees succeed. The problem is the system is overwhelmed by too many people.
They can't do it. You know, that's where the church has an opportunity to step in and help these agencies out. And I still believe in the beginning, when the vision was given to me, I believe the church, you know, is the answer to the aftercare of those coming out of incarceration.
After she finished her parole, Jennifer asked the Lord what he had for her in this new season of life. And the idea of opening a transition home continued to burn in her heart. The Lord started to build the team that could help this idea become reality.
I guess it was around 2014, I had met Bethany Davis, who was at the church plant that I just recently joined there in Newport. And she was teaching college on Tuesdays in the prison. And just in speaking with her, I knew immediately she had a heart for these women, you know. And so I just shared one day, you know, my desire, my vision to help these women. And she had never really been back in the prison where you could actually walk back in there, and in the prison itself, she'd always just went to a classroom. And so I was watching God actually call her to start going into the prison and becoming a part of this, but he hadn't told her yet. So, you know, I was like, I'm not telling her. He's going to have to tell her. And so she was in a teaching career, 18 years in a teaching career at a school too, and was teaching college out there. And so she went in with me one day, and she sat down with these women in the prison. And the first woman that she sat down with explained to her, I'm getting out. And she asked the question, well, are you excited? And she said, no, because I know I'll be back. And that kind of made Bethany step back and say, why do you say that? And she explained the same story that I had seen played out. I'm going back to my same people, places, and things, and I have no accountability. I have no resources. And so that actually broke her heart. And on the way home from prison that day, she surrendered to the Lord and said, I don't know what you're doing here, but it's yes, you know. And so then over the course of the next few months, we would pray and pray. And then finally, we was just curious, when do we step out from prayer to action? And what do we do next, you know? And so we just shared the vision and with our church, started with our church, a group of ladies, and the Lord just began to move, open one door after the other. After that, just, you know, to prove that he was the one that was ordaining this. It was a time of that, and he was opening those doors and just making it clear that this was the direction that he was taking, not only her and her family, but me too. So we came together at her kitchen table on February the 13th, and we didn't have a dollar to our name. We didn't have a board of directors. We didn't have anything. We just had two yeses on the table that said, we were willing to step out and say yes to the Lord and follow him in this direction. And so he began to put it within our hearts of people to ask to come on board. And so it wasn't long that we had formed a board of directors. We had filed to become a 501c organization, and that was done. And then we just began sharing the vision, just different little organizations, churches.
The Lord had assembled the small team. Now they needed a building. And he had a plan for that too.
A lady approached us and at a meeting that we had shared the vision, and she said, how come you haven't considered the Oakdale property, which was a former assisted living home there in the town that had been actually not in operation for about 2 years? Well, we didn't know that the owners were praying this whole 2 years to sell it and that it would still be continued to use in ministry. And it just wasn't going through any of the sales. And so here we had been praying for a year, you know, when to step out. They approached us and said that if you could raise a down payment of $20,000, they would owner finance the rest of it for us. And so we're like, well, that's no problem. We could ask the Lord for that. He could sell some cattle and give us some money, you know? And so we began to just share, and some funds began to come in.
As they were raising funds, Bethany faced a crisis of belief. She was a teacher and had to decide, should she renew her contract to teach another year, or should she commit to Cornerstone Transition Home even before all the funds were raised? The building wasn't theirs yet, and they had no guarantee the ministry would even open.
She was at the, actually went to the property and was at the swing on the property, and she just gave the even idea to the Lord, you know, back to him. You know, maybe I'm not supposed to do this. I don't know. I'm giving this back to you, type thing. And that very day, we got a call from the owners that said, we know you're struggling. We want to make the same deal at $10,000. And that same day, she went to the post office, and there was a check for $2,000 in the post office. And that was just one of those small ways where the Lord showed up just to confirm that, yes, he's in this, and to trust him. That day, she decided she wasn't going to fill her contract, and she took that step of faith. And 6 months later, we were able to be licensed and opened our doors, and we had our first three residents of December 12th of that year. Revive Our Hearts was very crucial, you know, in this whole process. Not only were they supporting us through prayer at that time, but we had brought a few former ladies that were incarcerated that were doing well. I brought them to the True Woman Conference, where I was sharing testimony and kind of the vision casting for Cornerstone. And Revive Our Hearts was actually going to be donating 10% of the offering to Cornerstone for us to open our doors. And they ended up gifting us with a $25,000 gift that enabled us to open our doors. And without that, you know, we would not have been able to do that.
Running a transition home is a lot like being a parent. It's a 24/7 job.
We started with three residents, and of course, Bethany and I, we had no clue. I think after like the second day, we sat across the table and we said, what are we doing? You know, with her hair probably pulled out, but we had no clue. But we thought it was going to be one way, and it ended up being something totally different. You know, you have this kind of idea of what you think ministry is going to look like, you know, and you're going to go home, and it's going to shut off. And then you're going to get up in the morning, and you're going to go to a workplace, and you're going to do ministry again. And that was not at all what was going to happen. And so this was going to be a place where the Lord was going to stretch us, and he was going to cause us to pour our life into these women and come alongside them, walking alongside them to get identification. These women don't have any identification when they get out of prison. They come with a paper sack. That's it. They don't have any clothes. They don't have anything. And so we were just like, you know, oh, what do we do? What do we do? So immediately we began to seek the Lord. And so as we began to get organized and he began to direct us, then we got a little bit more girls. And all of a sudden we grew to about five. And then it was like we got used to handling that number. And then we grew to about eight. And we're like, oh, it's getting crazy. But the neat thing was before we even knew sometimes we had a need, he was providing it. At that point, we were like, we need a vehicle because we got to carry all these people around. And someone would show up and say, hey, the Lord's prompted me to give you a van. We're like, yes, you know, we know we're going to need a van. And that just continued. And then before you knew it, we had 12, you know. And so then before you know it, we had 22. And then the Lord began to grow our volunteers. But out of that, Bethany and I realized that we can't do this. We have to have help. And so he actually began to bring some residents out of the program that have graduated and have done well and have proven that, you know, they had some strong leadership skills, and we were able to begin to implement them back into a role, you know, of staff. And so that gave the other girls coming in hope that, hey, they've went through this program, and now they're doing some staff things.
The team at Cornerstone Transition Home provided so much practical help to women coming out of prison. They also shared the ultimate hope we all need to be truly free and taught these women about Jesus.
And we know that's the only thing that's going to change these ladies' lives. You know, it's the gospel that's going to transform them. That's the where the power's at in the gospel to do that. So it's not going to be, you know, anything that we can actually do or anything that we can actually say, but it's the gospel.
And the Lord is changing hearts at Cornerstone Transition Home.
Which leads me to a family that we love dearly. Her name is Elizabeth. We call her Ebie. And she came to us. She'd been in prison six times. And she came and she really just surrendered her life to the Lord. I mean, all in. You know, those all-in yeses where you just put your yes on the table. And she had a strange daughter and mother that was living in Texas. And they were so taken by the changes in her life that when she finished the 90-day program, she ended up staying six more months just because she wasn't ready. She had goals. She had to pay off fines to get licensed. She wanted to get a car before she got a house to rent. And so once those goals were in place, you know, she came to us and said, I think I'm ready. And so we said, we think you are too. And so she was able to move into her own apartment, and her mom and daughter actually moved from Texas to live with her. Well, it wasn't long. They were coming to classes at Cornerstone, and they were listening to the Lies Women Believe books, the studies, and they were going through the same curriculum that she was going through. And they both got saved and gave their hearts to the Lord and was baptized. So now you have this daughter who's now reaching her family. And so there was another element to that is she had a husband named Ricky who was also incarcerated. And he has not been out at this point yet. And so we began to pray for Ricky, you know, because she was concerned about, you know, his salvation. And so he got out in June, and within 2 weeks, he was given his life to the Lord. And this couple is on fire, you know, for the Lord in our community, at his workplace. And now they're expecting a child, their first child together. And so they just closed on their home. They got a lot of new stuff going on right now in their life, but stuff that they've never done because they've never sought the Lord. They've never depended on him. And they're doing it as transformed, you know, new creatures. And so it's really neat just to step back and see how this one life was able to trickle out, and she became a missionary in her own family. And now she's on staff with us full time.
I know a lot of Revive Our Hearts listeners are thinking, that's amazing. How can I get involved in the Cornerstone Transition Home?
You know, of course, prayer is the backbone. Prayer, partnerships, financial partnerships. You know, we're funded three different ways. We're funded through donors, we're funded through rent that we collect from residents after a certain point in their program, and then we're funded through state only if the residents qualify for that. Not everyone that we bring receives funding. So these ladies set in prison, they have nowhere to go because there's no funding for them. So other transition homes will not touch them. So we're the only one in Arkansas that will bring a minimum into our home. And we just trust the Lord to provide. We trust him in helping us select those applicants, and then that he will provide doing that. We need mission teams that come. We have ladies from different states that actually come there. They'll spend the weekend, they'll minister to the ladies, go into prison. That's helpful because they get to see the body of Christ, not only in our community, but as a whole around other states that are coming together to be a part of that.
And of course, you can pray for Jennifer and the team. Here are some ways you can take Cornerstone Transition Home before the Lord.
I want to see a community developed within our community of families that are being restored. And just like with EB's family, her story is my prayer for every lady that comes through, that they will affect real change in their families, which will affect real change in their community, that domino effect. I think these women have potential. They have, my case is not unique. You know, my life is not unique. I said yes to the Lord, and I surrendered to him. And they have that same potential because they have that same Christ living in them. And so I want to see them come out and really understand that and grab a hold of that and tap into that and watch their lives transform into women that they thought they never could be, or they've been told they never could be, and to go out and be the world changer that I believe that they could be.
Wow. I always love hearing from Jennifer. And sometimes I get late night calls from her. And when she shares updates about what God is doing among these women who were former inmates, my heart is so full. And I'm also so grateful that Revive Our Hearts has been able to partner with Cornerstone Transition Home over the years. When you support Revive Our Hearts, you're also helping us serve ministries to women like this one. Revive Our Hearts was involved in Jennifer's story before Cornerstone ever opened. She listened to Revive Our Hearts faithfully from inside the prison where she was an inmate. Each weekday as she was serving her sentence, she was being discipled in the Word of God. And what a disciple of Jesus she has become. Just a powerful, beautiful woman of God. And now she's taking those truths that she learned from Revive Our Hearts, and she's pouring into other women at a crucial and really difficult time in their lives.
You know, Revive Our Hearts wouldn't have been available for Jennifer in that prison cell if it weren't for listeners, friends like you who supported this ministry. Just think how many women like Jennifer are being discipled through this ministry day by day, and they're taking the truths they hear on Revive Our Hearts and sharing that truth with others.
Yeah, I love seeing that process take place as one woman experiences God's transforming grace, and then she shares that with others who are then changed, and then they become instruments of change in others' lives. Well, you make it possible for us to continue making this kind of investment. And here in the month of December, when you give to Revive Our Hearts, your gift will be doubled. That's because some friends have established a matching challenge. So that means your donation over these next weeks will go twice as far. We're asking the Lord to work through our listeners to meet that entire challenge amount of just over $1 million. That'll help us continue our current outreaches, like this daily program, and it will help us develop expanded ministry and new resources, things like new podcasts and ministry in additional languages. I hope you'll help us to meet that year-end matching challenge. To make your gift, visit us at reviveourhearts.com. Or call us at 1-800-569-5959. Again, that's 1-800-569-5959.
You know, Nancy, I'm mindful that the work Jennifer is doing is difficult ministry. Could you take a moment to pray for Jennifer and the others who are ministering to those who are in prison?
Yeah, I'd be glad to, Dana. And I want to encourage you to join me as we pray together. Lord, we lift our hearts up together with thanksgiving for how you set prisoners free. Whether we're in or out of physical prisons, we have been imprisoned by sin and all the bondage that brings. But you sent Jesus to rescue us, to redeem us, to bring us freedom through the truth. And I thank you for Jennifer Smith and for the team there at Cornerstone Transition Home and others who are in similar kinds of ministries, who are ministering the truth to women who are in that process of coming out of, they've served time in jails or prisons, maybe a few weeks or months or years, but now they have that transition and to know where to go from here. And some of them don't know how to get a job or don't have any income or don't know some basic life skills. And people like Jennifer Smith and Bethany, who serves there with her at Cornerstone, and others on that staff, they need your grace. They need your help. They need your wisdom. I know when Jennifer, she often calls me late at night and is just sharing with me what you're doing, but also the challenges of women who've never been parented. They don't know basic life skills. They have addictive habits, and they struggle in so many areas. And it seems like they take two steps forward, and then it's three steps back sometimes. And yet you've called Jennifer and others like her to this kind of work. So give them your grace, give them the compassion of Christ to enable them to minister one-on-one to these precious women that you love and that you're wanting to use, even as you did Jennifer. You took her out of that prison and are using her now to minister to those who are where she was years ago. So we pray that out of these who are being ministered to now, there would be those that you would raise up new Jennifers, additional ones who a generation from now would be reaching others with the love and the compassion of Jesus. And we thank you in his name. Amen.
From depths of hell thy people say, Holy Israel.
Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wolgemuth is calling women to freedom in Christ. It's an outreach of Life Action Ministries.